Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and Dragon Ball is truly the song that never ends. And with me, I have...
I care not about your petty Will and Jada discourse. Please go touch grass and get sun, you damn weirdos.
And...
You know what, I have a quote about, I would say a quote about that, but I don't know about this. Yeah, Country Road, if you decide not to dub Bolts of the Rock, you're gonna, well, I say get more hate, but then again, that's having a lot, so,
yeah. Well, it's Country Road, so I'm counting on them to make the most irritating decision possible. Just like I'm still not entirely sure if Chainsaw Man has a US release. I'm pretty sure that announcement was for the UK.
And Australia.
Bastardos. Holding out on us. If it's good enough for the Aussies, it should be good enough for us, goddammit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know if things will go. And, oh yeah, we'll add this. For those of you who keep saying, I'm sick of the Will and Jada discourse, y'all the one engaging in it. That's y'all fault. I don't care if I can hear it. That's y'all fault for engaging in it. And, and for following blogs that keep on... everything that she said, which even though she didn't interview, but y'all keep on just, okay, I don't know if you say, y'all have to live in your head, rent free, there.
I did not ask for any of this information. I don't care. Go away, all of you.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. I'm just here looking at dumb memes and yeah. Cute cat videos. Have you seen and cats? Yet, cats are cool.
Yeah, and for the record, I blame y'all spreading this. I don't blame Jada at all. I blame y'all doing this shit because y'all keep bitching and moaning and just want to keep throwing gasoline in the fire.
Have we not learned yet that DJ Academics is a fuckwad?
In other news, water, wet. Yeah, fucking Christ. Anyway, here we are, episode 327. So, how's everyone's week been going?
Not great. Pretty sure I've been sick for the last 5 days with the flu. That's not fun.
No.
No. Not when you have to work through it because reasons. And why is it called the flu? Why is it not called a flu? Why does it deserve a the in there? Like we don't say the cold or the meningitis or the jaundice. Yeah, I got jokes. I know I'm sick, but I still got jokes.
That sounds like a future episode of a gumball episode, like the jaundice.
Yeah, it's not fun having to deal with all of the illness and the body aches and the fevers and everything. I did manage to do one thing, though. I talked a while ago about how I got a guitar for like $200 a while ago, and I couldn't figure out how to get it, you know, in tune properly. Well, I did it. It only took me a half hour to get this damn thing set up, and it's, I'm going to say, 96% set up. So, hooray, I'm able to do something most people can do effortlessly because they have talent and skills, whereas I am just a humble laborer who likes hobbies.
Woo!
Yes, that is my one small victory as I deal with a very annoying illness that I want it gone! Tired of this!
The human body is a frail bitch. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Not much happened. I just been enjoying my days of work, my sleeping, or at least being everyone's like, yeah, I'm just enjoying the time I got, which I needed. And it's getting colder. Like, okay, you gotta know, like, well, I mean, it's fall, it's fall, but I mean, things are now cold as, well, sort of cold. I know And also I'm going to North Freeze. Look, you're cool that cold. Look, it's cold, okay?
El Nino is upon us. That's why.
Well, it could be worse. It could be Il Nino. We don't talk about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Fair enough. Fair enough. As for me, not really much, but I did see a few movies in the past 24-ish hours. Yesterday, I was just kind of sitting on the couch with my roommate, and they put on Meg 2, The Trench. As someone who, like, we also saw the first one. I thought that first one was just okay. Meg 2 is a lot more entertaining. Mostly because it is way schlockier. As it should be with shark movies. And then, when I got home from work earlier today, like, literally as soon as I walked in the door, a couple of my roommates had been watching, they decided to put on Final Destination, which, funnily enough, is a movie I had never seen before.
Oh.
All I have is the images of it ingrained in my mind from popular culture.
So,
but I mean, that first one was a solid enough watch. They put on Final Destination 2 afterwards, but literally, like, I think they're about halfway through by now, but I had to duck in and do this.
Okay, so you did catch where you did catch, you know, the thing that we all fear, aka logs.
You know, I always thought that happened somewhere in the back half of the movie. I did not realize that that was the inciting incident. TM.
Got yeah. Never drive behind a log truck. Ever.
Yeah. But- Yeah, they were
I knew that without watching the damn movie. Jesus, those trailers were enough. Jeez.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now at least I have context for those nightmares. Also, I never realized Tony Todd was in those movies.
Yeah, he was in the, I think, the first two movies. And
I think he's, from what I heard, he's like, he has like some appearance in all of them, like, I don't think they could get him on screen for Final Destination 3, but he did have a voice cameo.
I remember him being in those movies. I remember him, like, yeah, 1, 2, I remember voice 3, then I forgot about 4, the fifth one.
Yeah. You know, apparently he's voicing Venom in the upcoming Spider-Man game.
Yeah, I heard.
I did not know that until today. Well, I guess that means I gotta really plow through and, well, I never did finish the third last DLC pack for that first Spider-Man game. I do have a copy of Spider-Man Miles Morales on PS5, and then at some point I'm gonna get Spider-Man 2. I'm in a very Spidey mood right now. But, before we can do more Spider-Man stuff anywhere, we of course have to get through the podcast and all its business, so of course we start off with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all that business. So, starting right at the top here, we had mentioned that the hardcore supergroup END have announced their second full-length album coming out in pretty much a week and a half from this point. October 27th, The Sins of Human Frailty. How very, very brutal. We have single number 2 here, which is titled Thaw, you know, like thawing out things. Or maybe this is the third single, I didn't count, but second single we're talking about here. So that last song I really liked, that's like a nice meaty slab of hardcore adrenaline, but this one kinda irks me a bit. And at first I was like, I don't know why. I mean, okay, so it definitely has those hardcore isms with like the way the drums are pounding away and how the guitars are written. But then there's also a whole lot of like industrial stuff going on over top. Like, you know, these very mechanical synth runs and, you know, feedback heavy walls of distortion, menacing pianos and such. And then there's a point here where it clicks in my mind. Oh, this sounds like Code Orange. Oh no! You were the chosen one! You were supposed to bring balance to the Force! You were supposed to defeat the Sith, not join them! Or however the whole speech goes. But yeah, this... The second that thought clicked in my mind, I'm like, could you maybe don't? Like that last single you had going on was... That was the good stuff. Can we keep to that, please?
Okay, just a prerequisite. Everything I'm about to say comes with me being heavily under the weather and kind of hopped up on Dayquil. It's all I have right now. I gotta go to the doctor. So I'll just say this was heavy and spooky and crunchy toward the end. I didn't mind the industrial electronic elements. It was, I can only give this a very subjective, it's fine.
Ah, the good old Scott the Waz, as they call it.
Now, I said, it's fine. That is copyright friendly.
Ah, I see what you did there. Anyway, moving on to the next track here, which I'm pretty sure is the only full-on Mark song we have this week.
Yes. Okay. So, last week, because we were doing the roundup, I talked about the album from Wiki Mike and Alchemist. Faithful Rock song was really good, and you're thinking, would it be some new material from them? So, I mean, I know last week Mike just released the album, a few days ago, and we had a single from Wiki and from Wiki like a week earlier, and turns out him and Badoo 27 has an album coming out November 10th called 14K Figaro, which is with a frog boy in a chain with bubbles. So anyway, the next single we got is called That Ain't Pat. Which, no, I don't get. Okay, like the last record, like the last time single we got from them. This is very, like, it does get that wavy sound, like one of like rapper moves, like ooh, the tempo is very, 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 very And of course, it goes with the vocals. It's like, you know, it's like maybe they shit that what we can talk about basically whether it be whether his skills or his life or about him, like all that shit. I will say during the last few minutes, the outro has this weird beat, which I kind of like more, but alright, for all the track is alright, it's very well good. I can definitely say it's a decent track. I can foresee what it means. I know how good a rapper that Wiki is, but now we're here on this dude's beats. Well, on the 27th beats. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Now, moving on to the next track here. Here's a combination of relatively underground rock and metal forces that currently now exists. One of my favorite grind acts that have been going on since the mid-2010s, Full of Hell, teaming up with Nothing, a band from the shoegaze genre that is a little bit heavier than the usual fare. Not like full-on, you know, doom and gloom, but not exactly like Slow Dive or anything either. Looks like the two of them are teaming up for a collab album coming out December 1st, yet another in the grand lineage of Full of Hell collab albums. And this one's called When No Birds Sang. So, yeah, kicking off December, we have the first single from the album, Spend the Grace, whatever that means. It opens up with a lot of, as you could probably expect from these two bands in particular, a lot of uncomfortable twanging, some slight squeals of feedback and such, eventually giving way to this very slow, moody, shoegazy groove with a lot of distorted guitars that fill out the mix, all tied together with the very vicious bellows of Dylan Walker. And the song sounds fine enough as it is. Only comment I really have is that, weirdly enough, when you take the shoegaze of Nothing and the more aggressive extreme metal aspects of Full of Hell, it kind of sounds like this other extreme metal band that I've talked about a few times on here called Thou, who, funnily, this kind of reminds me of like that one EP that the band put out, that Thou put out, that had a very grungy approach to doom metal, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, this is quite the iconoclastic doom shoegaze power duo sort of here. Equally gloomy as it is heavy and abrasive to the ears. So it's perfect for both of these groups, who I am dubbing Full of Nothing. Because I think that's funny.
Hey! That's wittier than anything I'm going to say this week. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So earlier this year, we saw the debut of the band Better Lovers, which was fronted by Greg Pucciato of Dillinger and the former instrumentalist of Every Time I Die, you know, following the whole extremely acrimonious split they had from a while back. But I guess sooner rather than later, we're going to have to hear the other side of that particular split. So here comes in Many Eyes, a band fronted by former Every Time I Die vocalist Keith Buckley. And for this project, he's joined by instrumentalists Charlie and Nick Belmore, known for playing with the likes of Jamie Josta and Dee Snider. Now, the more I look at that whole situation, the more I'll admit, it seems like Keith himself was very much in the wrong here. Like, I'm still not entirely sure what it is, but it feels like, if anything, he was probably, like, the problem, TM. I figure we might as well, like, give it a listen, see what we can glean from this. At least in the interest of fairness, I suppose. So, the first single from Many Eyes released this past week, it's called Revelation, and you can definitely feel, like, that Josta influence in the verse, as the chugginess of the guitar riffs has, like, that whole hate-breed hardcore thing going forward in spades. Buckley's vocals sound like Buckley's vocals and everything. Of course, the way he strings lyrics and words together is that signature vibe of his. And then you get to the chorus, and it's... honestly, it feels kind of underwhelming when the chorus hits, because it feels like one of those really typical, like, kind of hard rock radio choruses, especially with the way the vocals soar and everything. It's... the song as a whole is alright, but compared to the material we've heard from Better Lovers so far, this just kind of feels like a whole lot of... that's it?
Well, you have all the vocal intensity of Every Time I Die with grounded, almost hardcore metal grooves. Again, almost hate-breed-esque. Just a little bit turned down. But it's a fine blend that works out well enough here for a first impression. Oh, and also, Fuck Off, I'm in Love is a total mood that I am all in favor of.
Fair enough. But now moving on to the next track here, one that I assume everybody in this call that likes metal can get excited about. So, November 3rd, we're getting the newest EP from the band Spirit Box with The Fear of Fear. We've already heard two songs off this, I believe it's a 6-track release. And now we have the third single here called Cellar Door, and there is not a hint of melody on this. This is pure, full-on heavy. Literally ripping, like, right out of the gate with these, like, really energetic guitars and that pounding drum rhythm that sounds straight out of the playbook of Gojira. And when it's not, like, pumping that rapid metalcore adrenaline, you get these really huge, suffocating, like, dread-inducing halftime breaks, with the song just kind of oscillating back and forth between those two tempos as it pounds you into the dirt with, like, just constant heaviness on all fronts. Chef's kiss.
Yeah, this is just a straight-up metal banger with the low, blaring guitar chords being met with a piercing whammy effect in the back, Courtney's soul-shattering growls, and those punchy drums all blending together for something that's extra aggressive. I recall somebody commented that the sort of closing clean guitars, very reminiscent of the Mara Effect EP, which I can hear. I can hear that.
Cool, cool. We only got a few more weeks. I can't wait. And now, moving on to the last track here, coming courtesy of one of the old reliables of the classic metal world, looks like nothing can stop the Judas Priest train as they have a new album dropping March 8th of next year, titled Invincible Shield. We have the lead single here, titled Panic Attack, no relation to the Dream Theater song, and it is one of the Judas Priest songs of all time. I mean, look, this band's legacy is pretty well secured at this point, so I'm not sure what else you would expect a Judas Priest song to sound like. I mean, I think at this point, the only question with any new Judas Priest music is whether it will follow a weird concept or not. In this case, it just kind of sounds like it's just classic metal energy from top to bottom with those old school riffs, plenty of shreddy, harmonizing lead guitars and solos, Rob Halford's vocals, still guaranteed to shatter all the glass in the room. It is a Judas Priest song. I mean, I liked it, but I'm not sure I can add much else.
Well, for what it's worth, just doing straight-up metal worked out pretty well with Firepower. That album was very good. And as a reminder, this band officially formed in 1969. Though you all can do the math here. With how they're playing on here, they haven't lost a step. It's, I kind of like the sort of proggy intro before it goes deep into thrash riffing. It's a nice touch to build to the release when that main riff hits.
Yes, it certainly does hit. Now, that pretty much does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a bit of news to discuss, so stay tuned. And we are back. Now, for this first news topic here, we're going to start off on a bit of a positive note before sinking into the negative. So, I remember when the whole pandemic thing first started, everybody was locked inside, everything was remote, everybody was desperately looking for streaming entertainment, especially us here on the show. At which point, I have to extend a very hearty and sincere thank you to Alex here, for introducing me to the YouTube channel 2 Minutes to Late Night, which very immediately became one of my new favorite things in the history of ever. It was always a smile on my face whenever they showed up in the sub box or the, you know, document list for the week. Those remote covers, man. They did 2 90s Eurodance compilations, and they're both bangers. It's Arsenio Hall's world, and we're just moshing in it. But of course, it wasn't just the remote covers, because at a certain point, I did go back through the channel, and Alex, I don't know if you ever got a chance to do this, but have you seen the actual, like, 2 Minutes to Late Night talk show?
I've seen bits of it, yeah.
It is very wonderfully hilarious. Some of the funniest metal-based comedy out there. So, unfortunately, like, that was pre-pandemic, so because everyone was stuck inside, they really hadn't had any opportunities for Arsenio Hall to unleash his particular brand of strange humorous madness on the masses. But, thanks to an announcement this past week, it looks like 2 Minutes to Late Night is returning back to its roots for what is presumably season 2 of the old 2 Minutes to Late Night talk show format. In the announcement video, it was said that on Thursday, December 14th, the first live show in a while will be happening at the Gramercy Theater in New York City, with their first special guest back being former Every Time I Die guitarist and current AEW wrestler Andy the Butcher Williams. So, this first show, again, according to the description we're reading off of Metal Sucks as well, will also include an interactive competition with audience members called the Mosh Olympics, the, quote, hunt for a mysterious Tonya Harding-esque villain, and a, quote, special and secret live studio band. Now, if you all remember, the previous in-house band for 2 Minutes was Mutoid Man. So, have they found a different band? Or will it just be Mutoid again, since I think, if I'm remembering correctly, the reason Arsenio knows how to play guitar is because he took lessons with Steven Brodsky. So I think that's why he's the part of the house band. So, yeah, looks like as far as like being able to attend the sales and stuff, already rent, the tickets went on sale last Friday. I have no idea if they're still available, but man, I'm just scrolling down. I'm looking at this, I'm looking at the poster for this, and man, that is some prime, like, 70s comic book cheese right there. Fucking just Arsenio stomping on an entire crowd. He's got the gold medal for the Mosh Olympics. that is what you call a poster. But yeah, I am very excited for this.
Let the cameras roll. Document everything.
So, yeah, this gives me an excuse to rewatch that first season again, which really is just so wonderfully ridiculous. Especially in the season finale, where there's a cameo appearance by LP, of all people. If I remember correctly, I believe he's married to one of the main cast members of the show. So, yeah, there's the smile on my face sort of news. And then there's the, I hope this leads to a smile on my face sort of news. Now, in case you've been living in a place with no news access, in the past year or two, there has been a significant increase in fuck Live Nation sentiments from pretty much all conceivable fronts, whether it's the Swifties or the Springsteen fans or the Cure fans. Hell, even the U.S. government does not like Ticketmaster. It's something we can all hold hands on. Like, think about how little anybody anywhere at any moment agrees with the government on anything. Yet when it comes to fuck Live Nation and Ticketmaster, we're all holding hands. It's a nice thought, isn't it? So, yeah, the latest development in all of this is that the Federal Trade Commission has announced a new proposal to prohibit junk fees attached to a wide variety of industries, products, and services, including stuff like, you know, hotel bookings, utility bills, and, of course, the inflation of concert ticket prices. So, if this proposal ends up going through and gets adopted, it will require businesses to include all mandatory fees when listing the price for consumers. They'd also be able to penalize companies that do not comply. This comes off the heels of a few months ago, back over the summer, when Live Nation announced a quote-unquote all-in pricing experience to get rid of quote-unquote hidden fees. According to the chair of the FTC, Lena M. Khan, all too often, Americans are plagued with unexpected and unnecessary fees they can't escape. These junk fees now cost Americans tens of billions of dollars per year. Money that corporations are extracting from working families just because they can. By hiding the total price, these junk fees make it harder for consumers to shop for the best product or service and punish businesses who are honest up front. The FTC's proposed rule to ban junk fees would save people money and time and make our markets more fair and competitive. So,
listen, I don't care what y'all gotta do, just make concerts more affordable for everyone. Like, not just in the small venues, but in the big venues too. Like, Tool announced more tour dates. They're going to be coming here in January. I would like to go see that show, but I know those tickets are not going to be cheap because they're playing at the basketball arena. And y'all know how much those fucking concerts look to go for when they're in big venues like that,
especially with a band like Tool of all groups. So, Lord knows how this might ultimately pan out. Like, I think I remember something about this being discussed before, and I think I made the observation that, yeah, they would be more quote-unquote transparent with their fees, but I'm not sure if that would necessarily stop the fees being, you know, the same as they've always been at first. Though, part of me would speculate there'd kind of be like a sort of back and forth where people are so dissatisfied with the prices as they are when you remove like the hidden BS that like the companies would have no choice but to lower prices in general because they'd be losing out on money that way. I don't know. It just kind of seems like I'm thinking in like cynical capitalistic terms. Like if these companies can find a way to fuck around and like wriggle their way out of this one, I would like there to not be. But you can never be too careful.
I have this Tool concert loaded up on here. Nosebleed seats. $125 plus fees.
Jesus! What the
fuck? Yeah. Yeah.
Bro, fuck that.
Maybe I could get lucky on, like, SeatGeek or something.
Fingers crossed. But now for the most upsetting news, literally breaking right today as you know, we were going about our days, getting ready to record this, and a severe case of, we knew this would happen, but we're still very upset anyway. So, as you remember, a while back, there was the announcement that Epic Games was laying off a significant chunk of its workforce, up to and including selling off Bandcamp. Yes, Epic Games owned Bandcamp, it still doesn't feel real. To a company called SongTrader, which the fact that they spell their name Trader without the E already pisses me off and feels like it tells me all I need to know. But it had been announced via various outlets, including The Verge, that SongTrader has now officially laid off half of Bandcamp's current existing staff, up to and including the former senior editor of Bandcamp Daily, JJ Skolnick, who's someone I follow on, you know, social media sites, because I think what they have to say about music and life and all this stuff is usually really interesting. But yeah, and this is already bullshit, like, given, like, the recent efforts for Bandcamp employees to unionize via Bandcamp United. So, for all of this to just suddenly happen is just utter crap.
Private equity strikes again. Isn't this fucking grand?
You know, one of the best sites in the world, like, for musicians and for fans to just, like, browse and find cool shit. It really did feel like one of the closest experiences you could have to, like, an actual online record store. I mean, I guess there's Discogs, but who cares about Discogs?
I mean, it is a valuable resource if you're looking up information. I know Todd in the Shadows uses it quite frequently.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for information, just so long as you don't have to interact with the people on it, because... ugh.
Oh, yeah, I mean, don't ever deal with people on there. It's just, like, I go on there just to look up album, you know, releases, you know, every now and then, because, hey, rabbit holes, but, yeah, people are weird.
They certainly are. Now, we're drawing from a piece by Metal Injection, which, had received an update after reaching out via email to SongTrader for a statement about, what's been going on. So, let me just read how it says it right here. So, update. SongTrader has offered Metal Injection the following comment regarding the layoff, stating that the staff had been laid off in September and will receive compensation from Epic. Quote, as of October 16, 2023, SongTrader has officially acquired Bandcamp. Over the past few years, the operating costs of Bandcamp have significantly increased. It required some adjustments to ensure a sustainable and healthy company that can serve its community of artists and fans. After a comprehensive evaluation, including the importance of roles for smooth business operations and pre-existing functions at SongTrader, 50% of Bandcamp employees have accepted offers to join SongTrader. Those who didn't receive offers will receive severance from Epic as part of their layoffs, as communicated on September 28th. We are committed to keeping the existing Bandcamp services that fans and artists love, including its artist-first revenue share, Bandcamp Fridays, and Bandcamp Daily. We are looking forward to welcoming Bandcamp into our musically aligned community. We share a deep passion for all things music and will continue to serve artists, labels, and the fans who make it all possible. And on the off chance you weren't able to figure it out by now, why yes, I am making a sarcastic jerk-off motion while I'm reading this.
Once again, private equity strikes again.
You just know they're gonna fuck around with that artist-first revenue shit. Ugh. They're going to find a way. Just a matter of how. This is just the further, what's the phrase I'm looking for here? And shitification of the internet.
Yeah, that works too. I was going to say fuckery, but yeah, that works too.
I do not like this. I do not like this at all. SongTrader, please stop. Just everything.
Yeah. You can't have nice things.
No, we cannot. Anyway, that pretty much does it for the news. Now we just have one last thing to touch on here, and that is the new album releases for the week of October 20th, 2023. Starting at the top, we have the newest EP from Callous Dowboys with God Smiles Upon the Callous Dowboys. From Mirrorcore, we have her newest album, Spine. From the pop-punk band Knuckle Puck, we have Losing What We Love. From Conway the Machine and Conductor Williams, we have Conductor Machine, of course. from Blink-182. We have their newest album, One More Time. We apparently have a Christmas album coming out, courtesy of Cher. But on the up and up, and last but not least, we have the much-anticipated sophomore effort from Sampha with Lehi.
I can't wait.
Yes, yes. Anyway, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Well, as always, when I'm not, sick, various platforms every now and then, or of Azure, I just link stuff I do from things because something. I'm sick.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, Mentor Media, all socials, my site, mentor1.com. Yeah, that's it.
And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and various other social medias at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sareeresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezo, like us on Facebook, visit the website SurrealResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast ONA, and all of that good business. And of course, be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the site. That'll about do it for this week. We'll of course be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. So until next time, Spider-Man. Did I mention Spider-Man?
Get the porches.